This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Jen Hoover coming up in about 15 minutes to talk a little Wake Forest women's basketball. Looking forward to that. And new Hall of Famer, C.J. Spiller from Clemson fame, comes up here in a half an hour. We'll look forward to both of them on the program. Should be good games, though, tonight, though, Wes. Certainly game of note with a pair of ranked teams going eyeball to eyeball tonight. 19 against 20. Duke, Duke and Virginia Tech. Should be a good one.
Absolutely. Hokies, of course, coming off the win against Notre Dame on Sunday. Duke beat Boston College on Saturday at Cameron. So see a little momentum. We also get to see two coaches square off. And in the case of Mike Krzyzewski, he's got a guy who leads the league in scoring. And at least through the early stages, looks like he might be a favorite to be the conference player of the year. And yesterday, Coach K talked about the development of Matthew Hurt.
No, no kid comes with a completely well-rounded game to any program. That's why they're 18 and they're not accustomed to playing against the speed, the physicality, older people. And so there's a learning curve for every player. And now saying that, Matt was an outstanding high school player, well-coached and wanted to get better. And he has. You know, he's gotten better, and we've tried to put him in more situations where he can show that improvement. But he's kind of followed the natural course of what an outstanding player has to do to become that outstanding player.
And if more guys would stay in college longer, you'd be amazed how good they could be as juniors and seniors. Just saying, it's a unique concept. I would like to see that happen more often, but hey, if you want to chase it, you chase it. I know this much though. Hurt's been out of sight. And given the fact that Johnson, you know, jumps on the scene, his 19-19 night right out of the gate, you're thinking, wow, this guy's going to be unbelievable. You know, Duke really hasn't had his services. So as Brendan Marks pointed out, he's going to dress, he's going to travel. What kind of playing time he gets tonight, have no idea, but I know this. Matthew Hurt said, hey, get me the ball. He has really stepped up big time for Duke. They are 3-0 in ACC play. And yet, Wes, I'll say it for the 100th time, I still don't know what we have yet with Duke. Tonight is a really good litmus test, really, for both teams. Virginia Tech, we've kind of seen them, been impressed. Best non-conference win, knocking off Villanova. They've been good at home with the exception of the Penn State game, which they laid an egg. Other than that, the Hokies have played really, really good basketball. You've had their games. They've got multiple scoring options. This is going to be a big test for Duke, and we'll find out more about Virginia Tech as far as their staying power if they are a legitimate upper-tier team in the ACC. Good ball game.
Well, Hurt leads the league in scoring at 19-6. He is number 4 in rebounding and number 4 in field goal percentage. He's one of a couple guys that finds himself in the top 10 in those three particular areas as it relates to ACC basketball. But I'm going to go back to what Brendan was talking about with the emergence of DJ Stewart and Jeremy Roach in the backcourt pack. If that becomes a thing here, and apparently, you know, he talked about some of the adjustments they've made offensively to get Hurt more shots in Johnson's absence, then what's the integration like when Johnson does come back? Because obviously we're talking about if not tonight, then you know, maybe the following week after Duke gets a break in the schedule here. Then do they have to pivot back to what they were doing offensively as it relates to where Roach and Stewart are? I think that's an interesting dynamic. But clearly Hurt has played his way toward the top of the card in terms of the best players in the ACC. I think tonight, too, and it's interesting we're going to hear from Mike Young on this, it's not as much about Keve Aluma because you know that in the past Duke's priority list on the defensive ends, take away the best player, right? Make it tough on the best player. Aluma is one of the Hokies' best players, but the best part about Virginia Tech's success is the great complementary packaging they have around Keve Aluma. And that starts with Jalen Cohn, who Mike Young really likes in a Virginia Tech uniform.
Jalen Cohn is, I sometimes, you know, think to myself, how in the world would you guard him? This guy is so elusive and so fast off of screens, and he can catch it and get squared on balance. And when he gets to the top of his jump, and he jumps, I mean, he's a, I don't know what he is, probably listing 5'10". He's no more than 5'7". When he jumps, I mean, that is a true jump shot. He is off the deck. He was fouled twice last night on three-point shots. He was fouled once on Wednesday at Louisville when he made the shot and was fouled. He's tricky. He's tricky, and I am so thankful that he's in a Hokie uniform. He's a lot of fun to coach. He's awesome.
Pack, I believe Coach Young's comments were brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance.
I'm going to do this for the first time in 21. 5'7", 5'10", perplexed, 3 inches, jump high, fast, 5'7".
Balanced,
squared, shot, 5'10", 5'7", high jump. Foo on hoops.
Is that the first thing you thought of?
It was.
Is that what you thought of?
I'm watching Mike Young, and he's like 5'10", 5'7". I'm like, wait a minute. 5'7", 5'10", wait a minute.
Foo sure. on hoops.
If that's Foo on hoops for all you Hokie Nation right there. But I tell you what, he is a blast to watch now. Virginia Tech's got some guys, man. I keep saying, when you watch this team play, they've been consistently good other than one game. That's why tonight's a huge test. Tonight's kind of a verification that Virginia Tech belongs. Or, hey, Duke, well, I mean, where are you? I mean, is Duke one of the top two or three teams? Or is Duke top five or six teams? You know, that's kind of where I kind of feel where Duke is right now, right? We just don't know.
Right.
And if we don't get Jalen Johnson, so be it. We go for another week with Duke being off. So, I mean, we've already had, it seems like the Blue Devils were off for a couple weeks, played a couple games, we're going to take another week off. So, I mean, like I said, there's just no rhythm. And I've heard Mike Krzyzewski already talk about we're still looking for our identity. You know, we had Leonard Hamilton on last hour. Still not sure what our identity is. You hear a lot of coaches saying that, not just in the ACC, but around the country, because of all the disruptions and COVID basketball, that you just got to get playing games and get into some kind of rhythm here.
Not going to tell you the game is going to be determined solely at the three-point line, but Duke is 14th in the league in three-point field goal percentage defense. Opponents are hitting 7 threes a game. Virginia Tech averages almost 9 a game. So remember when I told you that Mike Young thinks his opponent's number, the magic number, is 8. If they get to 8 or more, then he thinks his team's in trouble. Think about that from the Duke perspective tonight. If Virginia Tech gets to 8 or more threes, can they win this game against Duke tonight, Pack? Is it solely at the three-point line? I'm not sure about that. Aluma and Matthew Hurt is an intriguing matchup for me, by the way. Do you put Matthew Hurt on Keve Aluma tonight? Do you put Keve Aluma on Matthew Hurt? I mean, there's so much to watch in this ballgame. Dave O'Brien, Corey Alexander have the game for us tonight here on ACC Network. It's a great game, by the way, just for the chess match that will go on between Krzyzewski and Mike Young. I really think this is a fun game. And like you said earlier today, I am really not happy that it's not a full house at the castle. That tonight would be electric. Because you remember when J.J. Redick went in there, being from Roanoke, to play, and all those teams, and then Grayson Allen went in there. And, I mean, this the Virginia Tech folks, when Duke or Carolina come through the tunnel, it goes another level at the castle.
Yeah, they get excited. I'm just excited because, hey, we got 5 ACC teams ranked in the top 20, and 2 of them are going to see each other tonight.
Yeah.
We're kind of due for one of those, to be honest with you. We really are. We're due for one.
Syracuse, Carolina is the 9 o'clock game tonight. Jordan Cornett and I'll have coverage for you from Smith Center in Chapel Hill. Roy Williams knows his young team tonight will have its work cut out for it against the zone.
I do believe that it'll be a challenge for us. We can try to simulate it in practice, but we don't do a very good job because it's not who we are, not what we do. And Jimmy's always been adamant about enjoying it and liking it, and he should, because it causes other people a lot of trouble. And for us, particularly with starting sometimes two freshmen, or all the time, just I think every game this year, we've started two freshmen at the guard spot. So that's been difficult for us to get ready for it.
We're going to have more of the same in North Carolina tonight, Wes, where they fall behind double digits and all of a sudden make a run, and now it's a fist fight down the stretch. And it seems like I've seen that movie over and over and over this year a bunch with North Carolina.
Yeah, tonight I'm as curious about the defensive end of the floor, really both ends, as I am just the one way with Carolina handling the rock, right, against the zone. To me, when you start looking, Carolina's a given on the glass. We talk about that a lot. Every coach we have on here talks about it, right? For me, Mark, I'm kind of caught up tonight in, like, free throw percentage opportunities. Syracuse shooting 78%. Carolina shooting 68%. You know, three-point field goal percentage. Carolina's just not very good shooting it. 30% from the three line. Syracuse shoots it a bunch. They've made 79. They're shooting 33%, though. I mean, this game gets told somewhere tonight in Carolina's ability to expand the floor and then, you know, their ability to defend it, to be honest. What did they learn at Miami last Tuesday night, too? And when I say the mental reinforcement of somebody like Andrew Platek and Leaky Black, and Brendan Marks brought this up, Coach Williams' willingness to make that team earn their minutes, what's transpired for them in that week? You know, they were supposed to play Clemson on Saturday. Remember how much we talked about the anticipation for a game like that because of where the Tigers were? Now Carolina's had to wait. What's that wait meant to their momentum? Because I think that's a real thing in this short-form season we're having right now in terms of number of games.
I bet Roy Williams would sign up with Leaky Black going 4-for-4 from beyond the arc right now, don't you think? Because Leaky, those were some big threes last week down in Coral Gables.
Yeah, that to me can be the difference in where they go, right? You agree with that?
No question. You got to make shots.
Yeah.
That's been an issue.
Yeah. So good basketball tonight. Virginia Tech, Duke. And then Carolina, Syracuse, Miami, Boston College also on the ledger in the ACC. When we come back, Jen Hoover's going to join us. Wake's women got a huge win on Sunday as part of the triple header here on ACC Network. Ivana Ratza, Gina Conti, they took out BC at the Joel. Jen Hoover joins us. We will talk to the head coach right after this on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday morning, 844-SAY-ACCN. Hall of Famer C.J. Spiller coming up here in about 15 minutes. But right now, our attention turns to my hometown, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, home of the Wake Forest Demon Deeks. Jen Hoover joins us. Coach, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great.
We were just talking before we brought you on. This race in the ACC for the ladies is nuts, right? I mean, we got two teams sitting there at number 2 and 3 nationally, with Louisville and NC State are really good clubs that could certainly win a national championship. And then it is a race. I mean, and there's about 6 or 7 teams in the league right now that really have a chance to do a breakthrough. And we keep talking about the glob with the ladies, and you're part of this. That, hey, on almost any given night, you see scores, you go, all right, I really feel good about that team. And then next thing you see them the next night, and you're like, hey, what happened to them? It's going to be crazy coming down the stretch, but it's got to be an exciting part, too, for you, because you're coming off what happened over the weekend, and you're thinking, hey, there's momentum. That's what we're looking for. Let's build upon this. But it is going to be a wild race in the ACC.
Yeah, I think it is going to be a wild one. It's, you know, even in those top two teams, you've got a Louisville team who, you know, was taken to the wire by Virginia Tech. And, you know, the Virginia Tech-Georgia Tech game was close. Like, every time you turn around, you see a score, it's a close game. And then you've got teams that have been out of mind, out of sight for a couple of weeks because they've been on a COVID pause. So you just, you know, our goal every day is to go to practice and try to get better. Don't be the same, be better. And hopefully, you know, be able to go on the road now this week and take a couple of challenges on the road.
All right, so if you wanted to be better, Sunday, I guess, was a step in that direction, huh?
It definitely was. You know, Thursday's game against Miami was our first game in like 18 days since the heartbreaking and sour taste in our mouth loss to Carolina in overtime before Christmas, not the way any of us wanted to go home for Christmas. But, you know, we were able to come back and get the rust off in the Miami game and were able to fight and find a way to win that game. And then, you know, Sunday, it kind of just came together for us a little bit. And you got to go out there and really continue to build on what we had done Thursday. But, you know, it's just this team's, you know, we're just grateful to be able to play. And we were doing a really good job of that early. And then we had a couple games that got canceled on us. And so now this team just understands how grateful and how much we have to take the chance, take the best of those opportunities, because you don't know when and how those are going to come or go.
Coach, we've talked to many coaches, regardless of sport, that have gone through the pause in which now it's one thing to say, hey, you look at a schedule normally, hey, we got a week off. You kind of get used to that because you still stay in somewhat of a rhythm. But when you start talking about 18 days, 20 days, you know, it's one thing to practice. It's another thing to still stay in touch. It's another thing to do all the Zooms and your fundamentals. It's another thing to play. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to knock off the rust? Because it's, you know, even your wind. I mean, just it's everything in terms of just getting back into a typical routine, whether you're a player, a coach, administrator, whatever the case may be.
I think it's a real challenge, and you got to give credit to these kids. This generation is going through something none of us have gone through. We all are, but they're taking it like they're sitting in their hotel room right now because our campus is closed. So they're all in a hotel. They're in a single room, and they're basically sitting there all day, other than when they come over to play, practice, or watch film. And like you said, like when you first start that first 5 minutes, first couple of times up and down the court, like there's just nothing that simulates that but game time. And usually you would have a scout team that you could at least practice against to have a scrimmage when you have a game knocked out. But like us, we're not using scout teams because of the COVID protocol. So, you know, we did when our Florida State game got knocked out on January 3rd, we did do a little mini scrimmage against ourselves just to try to get us, in our minds mentally to wrap around, all right, we played a game. So we got that game out of the way. Let's go to the next. And, you know, I think the biggest thing is just the teams that are going to continue to kind of stay in the moment, be where your feet are. To work on getting better every day on yourself, because you may prepare for someone. And like Florida State, we were preparing for them. And then Saturday, 10 minutes left in our last practice preparation, we find out the game on Sunday is going to be canceled. And you've got to find a way to keep these kids engaged. And so we've tried to make it a lot about ourselves.
When you go, I want to say while you're in the moment of this season, what do you think you're learning about building a team? Because Mark and I find ourselves in these conversations, and I'm as curious about how we go forward with this and what you take from this season that you'll use going forward and benefit maybe next year's team or in your career, how you want to approach it.
Well, I do think we are learning as coaches. We're very much we want to have a schedule and a plan, and it's planned out. And you know, we as coaches, you know, it's our game plan. This is our game plan. But I think we're learning that much like a game plan, life, you have to make adjustments. You got to make pivots. You got to, you know, basically God or the world has thrown at us a full court press. How are we going to handle it? And you know, I think with our players, we've learned you can do a lot virtually. We watch a lot of film with our players, not only in our offices right now, but we watch a lot of film via Zoom. At my position, my assistant coach has spent an inordinate amount of time with our players because, like I said, they're sitting in their hotel rooms watching Netflix. A lot of them will call a coach or a coach will call them and let's watch some of the clips from last night. And we can do so much of that now virtually that you thought before. Well, the player has to come to your office to get that in. And then I do think as coaches, it is making you really rethink some of the way you handle things as far as how much do you concentrate on another team when you're going in to prepare for them. You know, it's putting the emphasis back on your team and you getting better. And of course, we don't want any surprises, so we've got to know what another team's going to do. But it is making you kind of rethink the way you focus and the way – and I think focus is probably the biggest thing for all of us, is trying to keep us focused on the moment.
Coach, your game Thursday afternoon is really kind of the perfect snapshot of what I was talking about this cluster of teams. You see Notre Dame, who, much like yourselves, you've had moments where you went, hey, you know what? I think we got a chance to be a really, really good club. You've also had moments you go, my goodness, it looks like we haven't practiced in a week, and you probably haven't, given this COVID. So with that said, when you watch tape of Notre Dame, what do you see, given the fact that it's a whole new regime in South Bend?
Well, it is. I mean, the tradition of that program, obviously, and Coach Ivy being a big part of that for so many years. And, you know, there's so many new players. I watched our game against them last year, and you sit there and think about all the new players they have this year. And, you know, they've got a lot of versatility. They've got one of the best freshmen in the league with West Belt. You know, and I just think it's a, you know, much like any game, you've got to go in and on the road, you've got to be able to focus and be able to kind of execute the details. It's the little details. No one has to give this extraordinary, unbelievable effort or game. It's got to be all the little things that are going to add up to two teams are going to go out and fight hard. And last year it came down, it was a possession game. And, you know, I think this year you've got to go into every game knowing that may be the case.
All right. Ivana Ratza is the ACC Player of the Week. Phenomenal game Sunday. We had kind of anticipated this this battle with her and Taylor Soule, and Soule got into foul trouble in part because of how well Ivana played. So just take me through what you've seen. What steps has she taken? I remember talking about her and her performance at the ACC tournament last year and the run you had there. So obviously she has taken the next step in kind of what you want her to be as a player.
Well, I think the biggest step she's had to take, and Taylor Soule also has to take, is they went from being on a scouting report to being the top of a scouting report. And Ivana has, she's always had that kind of fire and competitiveness to her, and she wants feedback. She wants to know what she can do better. She wants to, she's really worked on different ways to get her shot off, how many different kind of, she's really worked on her footwork with one of my assistant coaches, Dane Sparrow, spends a lot of time with her on the physicality of the game, and she's just become an all-around player. She, in practice, she's our second leading in assist. She sees things on the floor that I don't think she saw as much before. She's just grown and matured as a senior. She's exactly what you want her to be. She knows when she's got to, you know, take it inside and post up somebody, but she has the ability to step out and hit jumpers. And she understands now the focus that she's bringing from other teams and how that's helping her teammates get open. I thought she did a great job in the Miami game of Fi and Christina Mora. Jules Spear, some of those other players, because of how much attention she's drawing. And, you know, now in the last two games, you've really seen that kind of the sense of urgency of, okay, the ACC season's here. We're not guaranteed any certain amount of games. So she is really, you know, two double-doubles in this last week. I think that has been a big part of just a sense of urgency of what's going on and where we are and what we want to do as a program.
Coach, I am very concerned about Gina Conti's shooting slump. Amazingly, she's missed two free throws. What's her problem this year?
Well, I have to tell you, I was a little hesitant to come on the show because I came on last year at the ACC tournament on the third day of the tournament, jinx, and then I came on and watched you talk to Gina about her free throw shooting and then jinx. So we're breaking the jinx now.
All right. I like it.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, Conti, I just think, like, if you probably haven't had a chance to take some of the clips of the Boston College game, but thought that kid came out in our Boston College game and really just controlled the game from start to finish. She got to the rim at ease against them, and I just think it was she had a sour taste in her mouth from our game up there at Boston College last year, which was probably one of our worst, if not worst, performance of the year last year. And again, she's a senior who understands that. You know, we've played, a few ACC games. We've had a couple that have already been postponed or changed. The BC game, we were supposed to play NC State that day. We didn't play Florida State. We were supposed to be playing Virginia tonight. We're not playing them tonight. Now we're going to Notre Dame. And I just think they're understanding that we really don't have a guarantee that we'll have another game. So let's make the best of the game that we're playing and do whatever it takes to win. And she's got to have her Yahoos and her beef jerky.
Beef jerky, yeah.
Well, I want to just say real
quick. We travel that, just so you know. We do travel that.
Oh, I was going to say, I just want to tell you, she was so much fun to talk to. And, you know, and I brag all the time about the best part of our show is talking to student athletes. And this has got to be one of the joys for you every day to be surrounded with such talented people, smart kids, right? I mean, but she was so much fun to talk to. And of course, Wes gave me grief when she finally missed a free throw and blamed it on me. But again, this has got to be the joy of coaching, right? As tough as the world is with COVID, to watch really bright young student athletes figure it out. And love what they do is you can't put a price tag on.
No, I mean, that's the part about why I coach. It's the day-to-day interaction I have with these young ladies that I'm just fortunate to be a part of. And that's been a struggle. It's a struggle for me. I'm a definite extrovert. I love to be around people. And COVID has been a struggle with that because I do spend a lot more time in my office by myself and or just at my house with my husband and my daughter, which I've really enjoyed that amount of time. But I don't get as much of the interaction with our players. We don't do a lot of team bonding that we typically do because we are trying to be so careful with this. But, you know, Gina's a kid that when we recruited her, she was a ton of fun. She's just got a great personality. She talks extremely fast, which has always been, was fun when Ivana Ratza first got here. That was her roommate when she first got here. And so those two have this kind of lasting bond that has developed over the years. But, you know, she's much like most of our players. They're just a lot of fun to be around. And I tell you, on the good days, it makes it better. And on the bad days, it makes it okay.
Yeah, good for you. That's awesome.
We thought that the gift that you sent to Pac was tremendous, but now we've come to realize that you have a picture on your desk of your dog wearing a hat. I have to know, is this the hat that was sent to Packer?
No.
Look at the dogs.
These are ones sitting in my office. That's Piccolo and Marley. That's our two dogs. We have Piccolo. Piccolo is a Great Dane puppy. Yeah, that's our photo shoot. We use our hats for props much in our photo shoots, so. This year we had the hats and the mask, so, you know.
Yeah.
This has gotten some play. Yeah. Let me tell you something. I can't tell you how many folks have commented on it. It looks great. It's perfect for the studio. You did a great job on that.
Yeah. And LaChana Robinson
is fired up. I have to give all the credit to my husband on that. He's the one that came up with that. And we give them out as gifts to some of our key people, staff members, and that kind of thing.
Was this also your husband's idea? This is your husband's
Absolutely.
Idea?
Absolutely. I know nothing about that.
Okay,
nothing about
enough.
That.
I know nothing about that. All right. With that
it's really
being
cool
said,
black and gold bottle. I know that.
There you go.
That's
you got
it. Yeah, there you go. That's all you know. That's all you're really familiar with. Hey, Jen, thanks as always. Good luck at Notre Dame this week, and stay well, okay?
Thank you. Go Deeks.
All right. Jen Hoover is a women's basketball coach at Wake Forest. Always a great visit. We appreciate her time. And don't forget, of course, that we got plenty of all those type things for you. Women's basketball. Wake is part of the triple header coming up on Thursday. 4 o'clock from Purcell Pavilion. And then Syracuse, Georgia Tech from Atlanta. And BC at number 2 Louisville. Women's hoops. A big Thursday afternoon into early evening right here on ACC Network. When we come back, Hall of Famer CJ Spiller. We will visit with the Tiger legend now when we come back on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
CJ Spiller. CJ Spiller! Shaking, rocking, lacerating that defense, CJ Spiller.
And no one will wear number 28 in Clemson football history anymore.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday, as we mentioned, the College Football Hall of Fame class of 21 was announced yesterday. There's some ACC flavor in it with Harris Barton and Dan Morgan and our next guest, CJ Spiller, grad assistant for Dabo and the boys down there in Death Valley. CJ Spiller joins us right now. CJ, first of all, good morning and congratulations, my man. You have done a lot of things with your career and your life, but that's a pretty special moment when you're acknowledged as a College Football Hall of Famer. Congratulations.
Thank you, guys. Glad to be on with you guys. I always go watch some of your episodes. So I know y'all guys do a first-class show. You know, like you say, with the college getting inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, honestly, I'm just speechless and humble and just grateful, honestly. I mean, there's a lot of people that's been on this journey to be able to get me to this point. So, like I told, you know, people, even though my name's going in the Hall of Fame, it's a lot of people that's been on this journey to help me get to this point.
Hey, man, you're not old enough to be in the Hall of Fame, are you? You're not old enough to be anybody's Hall of Famer, right? Come on. You're still a young cat.
Well, one of my best friends, Tim Beret, which I know y'all know very well, he texted and told me that I'm the youngest one. But I guess age is just the numbers, as they say. So I guess I'm going to be the youngest one up on that stage. But really just humbled by, you know, just from even being considered on the ballot. It just was an honor for me last year, being the first year of eligibility, and to be able to get in on my second year. And that just humbled and just speechless.
Walk us through when you found out. Was it a phone call, a text? Did somebody knock on your door with a dozen roses? I mean, how'd that work out?
Coach Sweeney, he gave me a call on Thursday afternoon, and he kind of did his, he always has some little way to be able to set up, let you know you're getting some great news. So he did his whole little ordeal, and then he told me that I was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. And it's funny because SID Ross Taylor had texted me that morning and told me that a group of people was sending me a package through FedEx that was going to arrive at my home. And honestly, I thought it was somebody from the ACC network, honestly. And he was like, well, just text and let me know when you receive that package. And I was like, okay. So I never thought that it was going to be receiving something from the College Football Hall of Fame. Yeah, it was pretty fun to get that news.
So you thought it was
You want us to send you a coffee mug? Yeah, you want a hat? What do you need from the ACC network? We'll figure that out.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
That coffee mug will look great in my kitchen. You know, I love hot chocolate. I don't drink coffee, but I drink hot chocolate. So that coffee mug will look awesome.
Yeah, you know, here's how it works. You either get the Packer and Durham hat, sweatshirt, coffee mug package, or inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame. It's totally up to you, CJ. We're not putting any pressure on
you. Which one you want, man?
Well, one of them's already taking place, so I only got one option left. So I love that Packer and Durham package sent through the mail.
You know, that just tells me, you know what, once you're in the Hall of Fame, you're allowed to be greedy. So we'll send something to you in the mail. And I'm not going to let Dabo call and say, hey, listen, there's a package heading your way. We'll just surprise you with it, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was funny because I know he had told him that when he found out, he was like, I'm not going to let FedEx be the one to tell him that he's getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. And it was funny because 10 minutes after we hung up the phone, the FedEx people showed up at my house. So I said, you got great timing.
But, you know, that relationship that you've had with Dabo, that's really special and unique. And I know how much he loves you and vice versa, because you guys really are kind of attached at the hip in terms of the new culture and the new era of Clemson football, because he's always talked about that class, right, which you were this five-star coming from Florida, and that really kind of changed the direction of Clemson football and obviously Dabo's career.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we always talk about it. Everybody knows our relationship. I'd have known Coach now for over, 14 years, and it's more like a father-son type relationship. You know, I kind of go to him if I have any if I need any advice, and he's always having encouraging words, how to pick up your spirit when it's down, and so it's just great to have someone like that in your corner that has your best interest, because you have a lot of people that have motives behind things that they do, but I can tell you, Coach Winnie, he's going to have your best interest, and he's going to give you the best advice, and it's up to you if you like it or not, but it's coming from his heart. And that's what I love. And, when he took over our program, that's the thing that he wanted. He wanted Clemson to get back to doing things the right way. But at the same time, he wanted to serve our athletes' hearts and not just their talents. Because he knows once the young men leave our program, they're getting ready to enter life. So he wanted to make sure that they have the tools for life to be able to succeed. And that's the thing that you love about him, is the message that he gets across to our players about having the tools of life, because we all know football is great, but one day it's going to end and you're going to have your whole life to live ahead of you. And are you going to have the tools equipped to be able to do that? He wants you to be great fathers, great husbands, great to your community. So I love the way that we have built our program here at Clemson, serve, love, and care model that we live by. Put that on display each and every day that we walk into that building.
But CJ, you were there on the ground floor. I mean, this Hall of Fame career that's being honored by the National Football Foundation, you were there on the ground floor when the transition occurred and he became the interim head coach in 08, the permanent head coach in 09. I mean, you have now come back to pay it forward, essentially. I mean, that's got to mean something to you as well as the impact you're having on the program.
Be honest, like you say, I'm just standing on the shoulders of great men that came before me here at Clemson. People always ask me, hey, they always tell me, hey, you was the one that get this thing. This was a great school before I got here, and it's going to be a great school when I'm gone. But I'm just standing on the shoulders of great men. And, when I came here, it was just to try to change the direction, to kind of get this program back to that spotlight, to that national spotlight that we knew that it was capable of having. And so, our class, we set out, we wanted to be different. We wanted to do something special. And to be able to get to that ACC championship game in 2009, that was special for our group. Even though we came up short on the end of it, I think it kind of set the tone for what we are seeing now here at our program. But that's what we set out to do. We wanted to be special going into this thing. And I guess now you can say that, you know, that class is special.
CJ, when you look back, go ahead, Wes.
Let me go back to 2009 here real quick, because I was doing Georgia Tech's games that night, and Roddy Jones and Derek Morgan and Bebe and Josh Nesbitt, Morgan Burnett, all those guys on that team. I mean, you guys had an unbelievable team. Georgia Tech had an unbelievable team. It just so – nobody won or lost that game tonight. The game just ended. I mean, you know good and well that game featured no defense. It was like whack football on grass. You were unbelievable. Georgia Tech was scored every time they touched it, and you single-handedly scored every time you touched it, it seemed like.
Well, I tell you what, Wes, it was a great game to be a part of. It's one of those games that you'll remember for the rest of your life, honestly. Even though we came up short, it's still one of those games that you remember for the rest of your life just because of the back and forth, the ups and downs of that game. Like you say, I don't think nobody punted throughout that whole game, honestly. And it just came down to a few plays here. And they just made one more play than what we was able to make. But like I say, that's how the ball bounced. We would have loved to win the game. But like I say, I think we kind of set the foundation and kind of gave that underclassmen guys what it's going to take to get over the top and kind of win that thing.
By the way, I know that the last time the Tigers played, it was a disappointing loss to Ohio State. Buckeyes played great in the Sugar Bowl. But do you think Dabo beat Ohio State last night? I mean, because, you know, you tip your hat to the guy that got you because the Buckeyes played great. And they circled the calendar. They were obsessed with that Tiger paw since the Fiesta Bowl. And, again, I'm not taking anything away from Alabama. They were the best team in the country and proved it. But do you think Dabo and the boys there beat Ohio State last night in some shape, way, or form?
Nah, it was Alabama coaching staff that beat him. Okay. I'm pretty sure, you know, with him having his long ties to Alabama, I'm pretty sure it put a smile on his face. I mean, who wouldn't? You know, your alma mater win a national championship. You love for your team to be in that game and having a chance to win it. But, you know, his alma mater was able to pull it off, so I'm pretty sure he was somewhat happy at some point during the game. But, you know, that Alabama did a great job. They seen, you know, probably the mistakes that we made in our Sugar Bowl, and they probably corrected those mistakes or didn't want to make those same mistakes because, you know, Ohio State are a very explosive team. And, you know, they did a great job of neutralizing those big chunk plays. And, you know, we've seen why that Alabama team is probably go down as one of the greatest teams to ever play.
Hey, I want to know, I spend enough time with Eric Wood in the fall doing games.
Oh, my man.
To know how pumped you were about last weekend for the Buffalo Bills. And I know J.P. Lossman's on the staff down there with you now at Clemson. So are you two guys just running renegade through the building right now representing Bills Mafia this week?
Hey, Bills Mafia is on full display. I had on all my full – I had on my Bills gym shorts, my Bills tight fit, man. I was Bills down last week, and it'll be the same this week when the Baltimore Ravens come to town. I mean, I can't honestly be more happier for a group of fan bases than Bills Mafia. You know, spending 5 years up there, understanding that fan base. I can only imagine how that place is going right now, because I remember when we started 5-1 up there, and you can just feel the buzz of the city. So now that these guys are in a division around. Man, I just hated that it's not a full capacity stadium, because I just know that place would be electric.
CJ, you know how blessed you are to have played home games in Death Valley and Buffalo Bill, and you mentioned that fan base. I mean, you know, you guys as players, you put in the ultimate sacrifices to become great at what you do. And again, congratulations on the Hall of Fame. But from a fan perspective, that's about two of the best as you could possibly get from a college pro combination.
Yeah, I'm just glad that God gave me that favor to be able to experience two of the best fan bases on the college level, then obviously on the NFL level. Because like you say, Bills Mafia, that's one of the best, if not the best fan base in the entire NFL. I mean, that team's been with that with that franchise through the ups and the downs, and they still show up each and every week to cheer on the Bills. And it's the same here with our fan base. You know, we have a road game. You're going to see a lot of orange up in the stands, and they've been with our program through the ups and downs. And, you know, I feel like we have the best fan base in the country. So I'm very blessed to be associated with two of the best fan bases on the highest level that you can play.
Well, we'll see if we can't get to that Packer. Let's try to get that Packer and Durham mug to you since you're a Hall of Famer. We'll make an exception. We'll see if we can't find one in the basement or out in the back and get that sent down to you.
You know what? It'll be on full display right here in my home. So I'm looking forward to that package. I'll make sure that Ross reach out to y'all guys to get you my address.
You got it.
Hey, here's the other thing, CJ. Not bad, too. When you think about it, though, and next time you see Roddy Jones, you'll have to tell him, because whenever we get around 40 degrees on our fall football trips, Roddy talks about how cold it is, and Eric looks at him and goes, no, you don't seem to understand. You don't know cold until you play in Buffalo, right?
Oh, yeah, you don't know cold until you play in Buffalo. Like, I walk around here with shorts on during this time of the year. People think I'm crazy. I'm like, you don't understand. I got that. My blood a little thicker being up in Buffalo now. So, you know, that's cold weather up there.
I love it. Well, congratulations,
hey,
man.
Congratulations.
Couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Oh, man, thank you, guys. Keep doing the great work that you do. Enjoy watching your show, and I'll definitely be looking forward to that package in the mail.
You got it. Best of luck.
You got it. All right, C.J. Spiller, College Football Foundation Hall of Famer. He'll be on full display. Knock on wood, they'll be able to go back to their traditional ceremony in New York City next December. Wouldn't that be nice, Pack, to have those moments? The ACC represented with Harris Barton, C.J. Spiller, and Dan Morgan of the University of Miami.
I've been to that event, and it's first class. It's a tuxedo,
yes,
though, Wes.
Is.
So if the ACC Network smart folks are going to send us there, it's a black tie for us. Black tie. Just saying.
And we'll be down the list. There'd be a lot of other people. Then there'd be Packer and Durham. All right. When we come back on this day in ACC, Robert Klecker Bowden is part of On This Day in ACC History. That's right, buddy. See you in a minute on Packer and Durham.
Dadgummit.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Again, the smart folks up in Bristol, excellent collection of guests. Leonard Hamilton, Brendan Marks, Jen Hoover, C.J. Spiller. Great balance, fun, insightful, always good.
Recap of the games tomorrow and Georgia Tech women's coach Nell Fortner on this show.
Jackets are playing well.
They are. Lurella Kubai, we're looking forward to talking to Nell tomorrow. So, also recap of tonight's ball games and a preview of a big Wednesday. We already told you Florida State and NC State. All right. On this date, 1976.
Wow.
Florida State got in the football business.
Big time.
They hired Bobby Bowden. Yep, that's right. Buddy, you gonna coach him up?
45 years ago. That will go down as one of the all-time great hires. We could probably make a list. Nick Saban at Alabama was a good one. That Dean Smith guy turned out pretty good. Coach K, Dabo Sweeney, and this guy right here. You kidding me?
Yep.
45 years ago, Florida State. Yeah, let's give this Bowden guy a try. Let's see if he can't figure out a way to get our football any good. Yeah, he pretty good. Fantastic.
Yeah, no kidding,
fact.
Right?
Yep.
Just in case you're wondering, Bobby Bowden hired 1976. The previous 3 years, Florida State went 4-29. Leadership of Larry Jones and Daryl Mudra.
Do you remember what their stadium looked like? It was an erector set. It was like it looked like a high school erector set on steroids when he got there. I mean, they had nothing. And you know what? Bobby Bowden showed up and said, I'll tell you what, we'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime.
Yep.
You don't have to come to Tallahassee. We're coming to your house. And, you know, every time I drive by that stadium, Wes, I think about that because, I mean, it used to just be literally nothing. I mean, it was nothing. And what he built there, the tradition, the history, the players, the greatness, will go down as one of the all-time great coaches, regardless of sport. Forget football.
Yep.
And what he built there and just the whole attitude of, we will, hey, Nebraska, you want to go? Hey, we'll come out there. How many times you want us to be out
there?
We'll
come play you.
We'll come play and we're going to come beat you. And man alive, he was just tremendous and great with the media and just way ahead of his time and an incredible recruiter. Game day, I mean, he had the whole package.
Yep. So on this date, 1976, Florida State hires Bobby Bowden. Before we say goodbye today, we go to Twitter in I guess in honor of Carolina playing Syracuse tonight, somehow we'll tie this together. Super 70 Sports and now George Karl, the former Tar Heel guard and NBA coach, has tweeted out a picture of the 1972-73 UNC basketball media guide. That's George Karl on the right, Don Johnston in the middle, and Bobby Jones on the left.
Wow.
And that is Carolina co-ed and former National Cheerleader of the Year, as Old West recalls, and Becky Fuller stopping by the old well to visit with the basketball players who apparently are on their way back from a philosophy class in turtleneck sweaters. Yikes.
You know what? Now I know where Danny Cannell gets his look. It's from the 72-73 UNC basketball media guide. Danny Cannell, who knew? We've tied in everything with Bowden to Tar Heels. You know, we were going to do 6 degrees of Woody and Billy. We just tied into 6 degrees of Danny Cannell, just like that.
Yeah.
Bam. Crazy.
We're going to have to get George Karl or Bobby Jones on this show one day.
Sure.
They'd be fun, wouldn't they?
I just
see George you tomorrow Karl. Morning, 7 a.m. Thanks to everybody for a great show. Stay safe. Be well.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.